thank you that the Lord has brought everyone here this morning. Something I didn't do was birthdays. I like birthdays. December 20th, Pearl Fipers has a birthday. And then December 21st, Sharon Bryan. And then December 23rd, Donna Ronald. And I heard a clap there, so let's clap. What's that? Oh, so happy birthday to them. And if you think of them this week, maybe call them and sing happy birthday. All right. Let's move in to the word that Andrew just brought to us too, in John 3:16. If you guys do have your Bibles, feel free to use them. And I'll be speaking from the ESV today again. So John 3:16 to 21 is kind of our text that we're going to go in and out of at times. And then we're going to go many other places. So be ready to flip this morning, because I'm going to get us to flip a few times to scriptures. But it won't be really drastic everywhere. It'll be pretty close. So let's bear it together as we do it. But a family that I didn't say bring up, because I've been doing that each week too, is Dave and Abby Dever, I think is how it's said, their last name. Dever? Okay, I said it wrong. Okay, Dever. Let's think of them in prayer this week. They're not going to be coming for a bit. They have some issues going on, health issues. Abby does, so they're just dealing with some things. So does Dave. So just think of them this week and pray for them. If you have their number, please feel free to call them too and just encourage them. So that's our family for the week to pray for. Now, before we get into our text, I just want to go over a little bit of what already was coming with the candles. We have the fourth one, which is love, which was already lit here today. And thank you for everything with that too, with the Russells. First, we had hope. Then second, we had peace. Then third, we had joy, and now we have love. Along this journey of our lighting candles, the candles haven't always worked the way we've wanted them to. So it's been a little bit of a trial run for some reason, but it's been a good time. This candle of love is the love of God that is given to us. These lights remind us to illuminate in our minds of the blessing that we have in Christ and what Christ has done for us. It's to remind us of the birth of Christ. And not only the first, that is not only the first thing of his birth, but there is a sanctifying work that is done in us when we believe in the risen Christ. Christ not only came in a child through Mary, but also lived and died a death only us sinners deserve. The first week I spoke of hope by illustrating, if you guys remember the story with John Eldridge that fell off the boat. Some of you may not have heard about it, but he fell off the boat. He fell into the water. He was in the sea. He was looking for hope, and he felt hopeless, but he found things within the midst of being in the water to find hope in. And John found true hope when it came through the Coast Guard coming and picking him up as he clung to that buoy. But that story represents hope with something physical here on earth, but there is something more, and there is a true hope that is Christ. The second was, I spoke on how the world does not have the answer to true peace. Christ is true peace to all of those who believe. He is our peace. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let your hearts be not troubled, neither let them be afraid." Third, which is the third lighting of the candle, it was on joy. joy that came through a virgin birth from a regular God-fearing woman, Mary. God chose her. God used her. Mary's son, though, was for the Lord's work. True joy for all those who would believe. For all people. That's from Luke 2:10. For all people. Christ is for all. Before we get into our text again. This Friday we had our party here at the church downstairs in the gym. It was an excellent time. I'm thankful for everyone who did everything and was involved with everything. I enjoyed my time and I was very blessed while being there. But Jeff and Jacqueline and E.T. and Olivia as well, they had put on a few games, which were a good time for us with laughter, and we had to wrap a present. Me and Al got together and we had to use only one arm, and we had to wrap a present so he would help and I would do the one part, and Alan did great. It was very enjoyable. But something that happened was with the one gift, the one thing we were talking about, there were some questions. And one game we played had questions of the worst gift. One of the answers was a gift of nothing. A gift of nothing that a spouse would give. I can't imagine not giving something. As it's a joyous time to see someone in their face when they open that present and the joy they find in what you've presented before them. I don't know if anyone here has been handed a gift with nothing in it, but I can imagine there wouldn't be joy on your face when you opened that present. I know that for a fact, I wouldn't be. Mary did not give birth to a stillborn child. She gave birth to a living child. This child was much different than every other child, though. This child was the love of God for all mankind. Let's read Luke 2:10 to 11. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now in John 3:16 from our text, let's read John 3:16 again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." The gift of love through Christ's birth was not given so that we could receive it and then hide it for ourselves, to take out whenever we're feeling low. God's gift of hope, peace, joy, and love was given so that we could give others the free gift we have received. Something that was happening for me this week was I had some different phone calls and had some different things going on, different things within people's lives. And I fell upon an article to do with visitation. I did not agree with this article that was talking about visitation, because they said visitation isn't good. And I don't know where they got that, but I believe that visitation is very important because I believe it represents how love acts. Myself as a pastor, I'm to care for the congregation, to lead them, to love them. And I need to do that. I need to go on the phone with a phone call or go to others' houses and give them a call to see how they're doing. Not each person in our congregation will always be reached each week. But I am thinking about you and I am praying for you, both my wife and myself. When we visit you, my wife and myself, in your homes, or you and ours, or you come to the church building, it is to encourage and direct. When the Spirit does its work in our lives, we become encouraged by you. This week, with this article, I did find another article that was much better on visitation. It was more positive on that sense. But it is disappointing to hear those things and see those things. But if I do not know the needs of the people, because I don't visit them, I don't visit you, how can I love? How can I care for you? Honestly, I cannot. I must take time to care for God's people that he has placed in my life because Christ did the same. Christ was the true shepherd that displayed true love through his life and death. Christ is a light and brings out sin and hurt in our lives. This is the light that we all need in our lives at all times. So I visit so that I can do the work that God has called me to do. I must shepherd the flock. The funny part, though, was as I was reading that article that talked about not visitation, I ended up getting two phone calls here with parishioners that attend, and I ended up being encouraged, and I hope they were encouraged, but I was really encouraged with our conversation because they were growing in the Lord. They were seeing things in their lives that they needed to do, what the Lord was directing them to do, and I felt encouraged because the Spirit was working. So visitation is very important to me. But that was something I just want to talk to you about this week that happened for me because it was encouraging to me. It was exciting for me. It was a joyous time. So, now, I'm going to end up going to the end of our text, John 3, 20 to 21. Let's read that together. For everyone who does wicked things, sorry, let's start over again. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So I brought a flashlight today. Hopefully it works, but I'm going to get Finn or someone in the back, or Dan, flick off all the lights. I don't know how good it'll be, but we'll try it somewhat. Maybe it won't work exactly right. So, everyone knows a flashlight, right? So if you shine a flashlight on something, here, we'll use this, the manger and the baby. So if you shine the light and you get closer to whatever may be there, whatever is there will be more illuminated, right? So you have a light, you're walking towards something, you want to know what it is, you slowly get closer to it, it will become more illuminated to your eyes, you'll understand what it is that you're looking at. Without the light, it's just, you don't see it. It's not there. You can turn the lights back on. Thank you. Unless you guys want to sit in the dark, I don't know. Christ is the light. And the more a person comes close to Christ, the more the light reveals the sin that is in our life. John 3, 20 and 21, as we just read, shows the importance of Christ for the sinner. Christ, the light, reveals what is in our hearts and illuminates it. So now let's praise, the praise and a gift. This week as well, I'm going to give you another story. I was talking with Carolyn. She was in here at the building here, the church building. We were talking about the goodness of God and how God cares for us in whatever situation we're in. And I was encouraged. I believe she was. She seemed excited about our conversation. And we ended up talking about tithing and how we need to give to the Lord because he has given to us. And it's an important thing that we should do. We should not forget about it, to give back. Whatever ways that may be that the Lord has put upon our hearts to, we give to the church body. Maybe we see someone who's in need and we give to them to care for them in their needs. Then we talked about Philippians 4:11 and how Paul was content whether he had been allotted much or had been allotted little. But the amazing part of our conversation is in the midst of us talking about this, a man comes to the church building, and he walks in. I've never met him before. And he says, I have a gift for you. And I'm like, for just me specifically? And he said, yes, for you. I have this for you. So he handed me a gift that was specifically for me, which was a blessing for us in our life. He handed me an envelope. And I thanked him, got his name, I wrote it down. And I was blessed with what happened to me. It was encouraging to me, but it was crazy within the midst of us talking about how God cares for us. This man comes to the church building and hands me this gift. So Christ is a gift that we can hand to others. We must not forget to share Christ with those around us. We have been blessed with a gift. We must share that gift. I can bless others with the gift that I received the other day. So take the time to share Christ with the world that is not at peace. We all know it. We all know the world's not at peace. God gives good gifts. So Christ's gift of love, Christ loved in such depths that he says in John 10:11. Let's flip there. Keep your finger in John 3. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then let's flip to John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Christ came to die. This was the Father's plan from the beginning. Now, let's read John 12:27 to 28. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Verse 28. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Jesus did not doubt God. Jesus knew his plan in this text. He knew his plan. He knew his purpose. He knew what he had for him, and he knew that he cared for him. He wasn't leaving him to his own. God cared for him. Then a voice from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Christ loved us to the point of offering his life. He knew the Father's plan was good. Today we can join together in worship, in word, and in song about the glorifying work. And we've already done it in song, and now we're doing it in word. For the work the Father put before Jesus. Jesus submitted to the point of death. Again, let's read Romans 5, 6 to 8. For while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7. For one will scarcely die for the righteous person, though perhaps for a little person, for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Maybe someone would die for a good person. But Christ died for us while we were still sinners. He made the choice. Not one single person in this building was born when Christ was around. We all know that. 2,000 years ago, Christ came. None of us were alive. Maybe some of us feel that we were, but Christ died for us. He made the choice. He submitted to the Father because it was the Father's plan. The gift of Christ is just as good then as it is now. Do not reject the gift. So how must we respond to this gift of love? Let's read John 3:17 to 18. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. First, if any have come today and they are seeking, if you are seeking, there is not a moment to lose. Now is the time. We must repent and believe. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's from Romans 6:23. Do not reject the work of the Holy Spirit. Let it illuminate the sin in your life. None of us know at what moment the Lord will decide to take us. As we know, we have a funeral on Monday with Mark. Within a moment, you can be gone. Second, this is not just for the unsaved, but for us believers. Do we have sin lurking in our lives? Remember the light? If so, we must confess it to God, or maybe even one to another, with those who are trustworthy. The good news of Christ is for the little ones. Here's my little one comment earlier. The good news is for the little ones, the young ones, the old ones, the lame ones, the blind ones, the liars, the drunkards, the sexual immoral. The list goes on and on. Remember, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world and has come into the world. We have our Savior who came in the flesh and dwelt among us. To some, this sounds crazy. The man coming in the world specifically to die for another man and chooses not to defend himself? Why would such a man do such a thing? We can again look at Romans 5:7-8, which says, I can read it to you. If you want to flip there, you can. But it says, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It is not the norm that another man would make the choice to give his life in order that another could have life. But maybe for a good person, he would. Maybe. But this Christ that I speak chose to give his life for us while we were still sinners 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago, actually, technically. When we were still sinners, we weren't even born. None of us were around. Let's read John 3:17 again. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. He was more than a man. He was God taking on the flesh. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. For by him all things were created in the heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, Colossians 1:15-16. Then we come to Colossians 1:19-20. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. If we understand this, if we've come to understand that Christ died for all people and that we can be reconciled by the love of God through his Son, we have hope, we have peace, we have joy, and we have tasted of the goodness of God's love. Another piece we can take from Colossians is Colossians 1:23. If indeed you continue in faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. If we have tasted the living water, we must not shrink back. We must press on for the reward that awaits us, eternal life. So we press on with the seal of the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our inheritance on the day until the day of redemption comes. Now we must see the need of a Savior. We must not forget about the need that we have. The only way to see a need for such a Savior is first to see and understand how lost we really are. If we do not understand our separation from God, we see no need of a Savior. There's no purpose. There's no meaning to it. For it says in John 1:10, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. Even His own people did not see Him as the light. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. John 1:11. He was the light that came into the world, even though the world did not see Him. But when the blood of Christ touches our ears and our eyes are opened to the fact of our depravity, we are able to come and find new life. Let's read Titus 3:5-7. And if you'd flip there together too with me. Titus 3:5-7. It's just after Timothy. I love this portion of Scripture in Titus. Titus 3:5-7. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. He saves us. And this is the grace that He bestowed to us in a gift. In a lowly manger, Christ came. This gift is told to us in Romans 3:24, justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ. He came to redeem the lost, His own people, Israel, and second, us, Gentiles. But let us look again at John 3:18. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. For those who have tasted of the goodness of God are not condemned. Do you guys remember in Romans 8? There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But those who do not believe are already condemned by God. Now let's read John 3:19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. The light of Christ is hard for the sinner to see because they love the darkness more than the light. They love darkness and cannot see the spiritual light, Christ. But if God opens the eyes so that the sinner can see the light, they find the love of God in the Son, in Christ. Then again, we are reminded of Romans 5:6. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. We have all sinned against God. And without Christ being born, we would not have the grace of redemption we have today. But God shows His love for us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is why it is important that we speak the truth to those who live in dark. I think about the woman at the well and John, the Samaritan woman. You can read about her in John 4 and on. But as I was getting all this together, I was thinking about her. And how she was there, gathering her water at the well, Jacob's well. Christ comes. He speaks to her. She finds life. She sees the Christ. And she leaves her water jars there. She doesn't take them with her, the thing that she come there to get. She found living water. She found new life. So let us not forget this time of year and what Christ has done for us in his coming, his birth. A couple things for you guys to think about, though. If any of you have been convicted about this today, and the light of Christ is illuminating in your life, whether you're unsaved or whether there's sin in your life, don't just push it aside. The Spirit's doing its work. Confess to him. Repent. And don't leave another day go by. As we know, as I've said too, we all know that we don't know the moment we will pass. So, let's pray and then we'll sing together. Father, I just thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for your gift and your son. I thank you that we can find redemption in you. I thank you that there is new hope in you and there is joy in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll just invite you to stand with us, and we're going to sing Behold Him again as we close.
Behold Him, Jesus, Son.
And behold.